Well, the story is told of a Christian woman who was riding in an elevator. Also in that elevator were a mother and her daughter. The little girl was being a typical little girl. And what do I mean by that? She was bubbly. She was smiling. She was tee-heeing. She was just enjoying life. And she was excited to be on this elevator. She wanted to push the buttons herself, as many children like to do. "I can do it," I can hear her say. But by mistake, guess what she did? She pushed the wrong button. And to the woman's amazement, the mother scolded her and called her stupid. The Christian woman wanted to pick up the girl and say it loudly, "You are not stupid. You are an incredible person, and God has great plans for you." That mother's words broke the woman's heart. Can you imagine what it did to the daughter? Can you imagine? Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our dearest Lord, I want to thank you again for this opportunity to stand before your people. Lord, I just pray that you would speak through me today, Lord, that we may be blessed, that we may be encouraged, Lord, that we may be challenged. And I thank you for this opportunity again, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. People can be so cruel with their words. Do you agree with me? You'll never amount to anything, you may have heard someone say. You'll never do anything right. You never do anything right. You aren't very bright, are you? You're not a good wife, or you're not such a great husband. You don't have what it takes to excel at work, to do what it takes to get that promotion at work. You just can't do it. You're too young. You're too old. These and so many other lies are hard to forget. They sink deep in our innermost being, and sometimes they can even affect us for a long term or for the long term. Why is it, brothers and sisters, that these negative labels seem to play in our mind? The negative things that people call us or say to us seem to have a greater influence on us than many of the positive things that people have said. You ever thought about that? It's so true, isn't it? You know, someone could say all kinds of great things about you. You could go through your day and you could have 10 people say nice things about you. And that one person at work or that one person in the line of the grocery store says something negative to you or about you or a comment to the person they're with. And all of a sudden, it's like those good things didn't even happen. You know what? The more we play those negative labels, replay them in our minds and think about them, the more they become a part of us and the more we start to believe them. Did you ever think about that? It's so true. Because if someone said, you know, you're not very bright, and you're thinking to yourself, I'm not very bright. And then you're going through your day and you're doing something and maybe you drop something and you say, I must have dropped that because I'm not very bright. You know, maybe this happened to me because I'm not very bright. I didn't think it through very well. And you keep on doing that and it starts to get to the place where you believe it yourself. Let's say as you were growing up that you were told by your parents, you're stupid, you're slow, you're annoying. No one wants to spend time with you. You're always in the way. If you were to have grown up in a home like that, what do you think would have been the outcome? What do you think? We would have grown up feeling like, I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not worth much. I'm not important, etc. I think you get the idea. But brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you today that if you grew up in a home like this, or if you are living in a home like this, because sometimes we do, we grow up and people don't really know what goes on inside of our house. Those labels that people have placed on you, they are not true and you don't have to believe them. You are not what people say you are. You are God's creation and what He says you are. What He says is the truth. He says that you are an incredible person. You are full of greatness. You are valuable. You have a great mind. You're one of a kind. These are the kind of things that He says. You are gifted like no other. You have talents and abilities that no one else seems to have in the way that you do. You may be small, but that's just the way God wants you. You may be tall, but that's just the way God wants you. You may be able to speak in front of people, and that may be the way God wants you. Or maybe you're quiet, but you can speak with one individual. You can encourage one individual. You can help them. You see, God doesn't want us to be defined by negative labels, but instead He wants us to remove them. So with that in mind, let's examine this concept of negative labels. Sometimes we can get labels that begin right at the beginning. Can you think of anything that sticks with you longer than the name that you're given at birth? It kind of has a sticking element to it, doesn't it? Nowadays, we are not all given names just for their meaning. But oftentimes, we choose our names from a baby book or just because we like the way they sound. But brothers and sisters, it wasn't always that way, and it may not have even been that way in your own home. But in Bible times, things were different. Some names that were given were prophetic in nature. A long time ago, I preached a sermon called Methuselah. Do you remember? I don't know if you remember it, but it was talking about the meaning of Methuselah. And the meaning was, when he dies, it shall come. Which is very interesting because Methuselah died in the year that the flood took place. Fascinating, isn't it? Prophetic. Some names were chosen and related to the parents by God Himself. And some names were due to circumstances, as we will see in the following example. Let me set up the scenario for you. There was a husband who had two wives. Think you know who it might be? One had many children, and there was the other one who only had one child, but that was soon to change. The birth process was difficult. So difficult, in fact, that it took a life to give life. And a name was given just prior to the woman's death. Let's open our Bibles this morning to the beginning, to Genesis chapter 35. Genesis chapter 35. And we're going to begin looking at verse 18. So Genesis chapter 35 and verse 18. I'm reading from the New King James Version. And my Bible says, "And so it was, as her soul was departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin. So Rachel died and was buried on the way to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem. And Jacob set a pillar on her grave, which is the pillar of Rachel's grave to this day." Did you catch the label that was put on this tiny little infant? What was he called by his mother? Benoni or Benoni. And what does that mean? Son of my trouble. Son of my sorrow. Can you just imagine going through life with a name like that? Son of my trouble. Son of my sorrow. What a burden that would have been to feel that your birth brought sorrow or trouble. A constant reminder that it was your fault that your mother died, because she was giving birth to you. Pretty heavy, don't you think? But praise the Lord that his name did not remain Benoni. Instead, his father gave him a new name. Jacob, upon being told that the name of his child was Benoni, saw the effect that the name such as that could have on his child's future. And so he bestows on him a new label, if you will, a new name. And what did he call him? Benjamin. And what does Benjamin mean? Son of strength. Son of my right hand. A big difference, don't you think? Son of sorrow, son of trouble, son of strength, son of my right hand. Amazing. And Benjamin, as you know, grew up to be a great leader. Out of his family line came the kings of Israel. You see, God had a destiny for little Benjamin to fulfill. An assignment, if you will. But God knew that if he went through life wearing the label, son of my sorrow, he would never become what he was created to be. So God stepped in and said, no, he's not wearing that label. I'm not going to allow it. He's not a son of sorrow, defeat, or disappointment. This child is a son of destiny. He has seeds of greatness in him. And his name will be Son of my right arm, Son of strength. You see, brothers and sisters, God knows how powerful labels are. Maybe someone has tried to label you as average or a slow learner or not talented or that you made too many mistakes. No, God is saying the same thing to you that he said to Benjamin. I'm changing your name. I'm placing a new label on you. No more son of sorrow, mediocrity, or broken dreams. I'm renaming you to son of strength, daughter of destiny, child of influence, child of greatness, child of victory. In the scriptures, we see time and again that many individuals receive new names or labels. What about Abram? Do you remember Abram? Abram was the one that was called out of where? He was called out of Chaldea, right? He was called out to go and to do something for God. Now, the name Abram meant exalted father. But his name was changed to Abraham, which meant father of many nations. You see, brothers and sisters, Abraham was not destined or labeled to be an exalted father of his family. Did you get that? Instead, he was to become the father of many nations, and therefore the label had to be changed. What about Sarai? It meant princess. And it was changed to Sarah, which meant princess or mother and mother of nations. You see, God changed the name to reflect the destiny as he did for her husband. And this change was a statement of promise. Because God made a promise to Abraham and to Sarah that they would be the mother and father of nations, as we know is true today. What about Jacob? You know what Jacob means? Supplanter or deceitful. Again, not so great of a handle, is it? Supplanter or deceitful. What a nice little boy he was. But his name was changed to Israel by God. And what does Israel mean? Prince with God. You see, God was in essence saying that although Jacob's life began with deceit, this was not the way it should remain. Isn't that wonderful? That God is showing Jacob that he wanted something much better for him. And so he changed his name. What about Saul? The apostle Saul. Saul meant demanded to Paul. And Paul meant little or small. It's an interesting one, isn't it? Before his conversion, Saul was a fitting name for one who went about demanding that the followers of the way either repent or be thrown in prison or die. The new name or label of small or little comes out in the following verse quite profoundly. Let's turn together to the New Testament to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. All right, we're looking at verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. And this verse says, "And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." You see, Paul realized that true strength comes through submitting our weakness to God, to the God of all strength and power. Isn't that true? You know, the world says you got to be strong. You got to stand up for yourself. And that may be true. But the thing is that God can work through us if we submit ourselves to Him. If we allow the weaknesses that we have to be submitted to Him, He can turn them into strengths, can't He? He can turn us into a powerhouse for Him if we rid ourselves of our selfishness and our internal feelings about ourselves. Now I'd like to turn our attention to the labels that sometimes are lasting, or can be if we choose not to remove them. Are there labels this morning that are holding you back, brothers and sisters? That's the way that the enemy works. That's the way the devil works. He would love to put labels on you to keep you from reaching your potential. Do you believe that? It's true. He doesn't want any of us to reach our potential. He doesn't want any of us to witness to other people. He doesn't want any of us to share the gospel. He doesn't want us to. He doesn't even want any of us to be kind to our neighbors. So he loves to label us and to put these kind of things on us. He knows that God ordained amazing things for your life and mine, and for your future and mine. So what does he do? He tries to discourage you, to intimidate you, to make you feel inferior. He did this to me this week while I was preparing this message. It was as if he knew that someone needed to hear this message, and he was trying to make sure that that didn't happen. Negative words or labels, if you dwell on them for long enough, they will take root and become what was said. Wrong labels can keep you from your destiny, can keep you from doing what God has called you to do. Don't go the next 20 years allowing one negative comment or label to hold you back. You are not what people say you are. You are what God says you are. People will label you not good enough, too slow, too old, too young, that you have made too many mistakes. But God labels you strong, talented, valuable, more than a conqueror, one of a kind, the apple of his eye. Many people don't know any better. They wear the negative labels like they're the truth. They become so ingrained in their thinking that they end up becoming what people say they are instead of what God says they are. Did you catch that? They become so ingrained in their thinking that they end up becoming what people say they are instead of what God says they are. Are there any labels this morning that are holding you back? Maybe what a coach said, what a counselor said, what a teacher said, what a friend said, what a pastor said, what a church member said, what a parent said, or a label that someone placed on you. Did you know that the only power that that label has over you is the power that you choose to give it? Did you catch that? The only power that a negative label has over you is the power that you choose to give it. It's your choice. This reminds me of a story. There was a gentleman many years ago who, while in junior high, overheard his teacher tell his mother that he was a slow learner. Guess what? For 30 years, he wore that label. 30 years. Just kind of floundering through life, realizing that he was a slow learner, that he couldn't really do that much. He held a job, but it was kind of a ho-hum job, and he didn't do it all that well because he was a slow learner. And things just didn't go right. One day a pastor told him, "You've got to remove that label. If you're going to reach your highest potential that God wants for you, you have to remove that label. You need to say, 'No thanks. I'm not wearing that slow learner label anymore.' That may have been the teacher's opinion, but I have a new opinion from my Creator. And he says that I have the mind of Christ, that I am full of wisdom, that I can fulfill my destiny and my purpose that is ordained by God himself." Or what about the young woman who came to her pastor to ask for prayer for her exams? That's a good thing to do, don't you think? But listen to what she asked. She said, "Pastor, can you pray for me so that I'll get C's on my exams?" And the pastor said, "C's? Why not A's?" And she said something that made the pastor feel very sad. She said, "Because my guidance counselor at school told me that I'm a C student." She was wearing that C student label. She didn't think she could do any better than that. But the real battle, brothers and sisters, is in the mind, is it not? Let's turn to the scriptures to find out what it has to tell us. Let's go to Ephesians this morning, Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 12. It says, "Therefore we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." Have any of these thoughts ever entered your mind? Things will never get better. It's just the way things are. You'll never find a job. You'll never be a good father. You'll never be a good mother. You'll never make an impact on the world. You'll never be able to share with people one-on-one about Jesus Christ. You see, if he can convince us that the labels that he is sticking on us, left, right, and center, are in fact the truth, then he wins. And for the most part, he, being the devil, doesn't even enter the picture. Many times we don't even realize that he's the culprit or the instigator. We just start to believe these things. So then you might be thinking, we know that we are being labeled almost from the day we're born. We know that people have hurt us by the labels that they've put on us. We know that the devil tries to convince us that the negative labels are truth. So then what can we do? Brothers and sisters, just as the title of this message says, we need to remove negative labels. We need to make the decision in our individual lives to not allow those negative labels to define us or take away our destiny, to keep us from the plan that God has for your life and for mine. There's a process that I want to highly recommend to you and encourage you in this morning. It's something I'd like to call label replacement. You like it? Label replacement. Have you ever gone shopping for some clothing? And you take something into the dressing room to try it on. And you know that your size is medium. Okay, it's large. And when you attempt to try that item on, you discover that it's actually an extra small. The label, you see, doesn't match the item. The label doesn't speak the truth about that item. So this doesn't happen to anyone else. You speak to the manager of the store, and the label is changed. The label is replaced with one that says, extra small. Now, the label speaks the truth. That's label replacement. You see, throughout life, people are constantly sticking labels on us, telling us what we can and can't do. We cannot stop the negative comments or prevent the negative labels, but we can choose, brothers and sisters, to remove them. We can choose to remove them. A pastor of a large church in Texas had just taken over the church from his father who had passed away. Well, he did one of his first services, and after the service, he was kind of walking around the church, and I guess he kind of stuck his head out into the entryway, and he heard two ladies talking. Guess what they were saying? This is what he overheard. "He's not as good as his father. I don't think the church is going to last." The young pastor was already sad. He'd lost his father. He was stressed because this was a big job to take over. He was already feeling inadequate. And now added to that is not as good as his father. And the sure demise of the church. Pretty heavy labels, don't you think? What would you have done? Packed it up? Given up? Left the ministry? Praise the Lord, he didn't do that. Instead, he chose to remove the negative labels that people were sticking on him, and he chose instead to accept the labels that he found in Scripture. More than a conqueror, fearfully and wonderfully made, destined for success through the power of the Almighty God. So what made the difference, brothers and sisters? What made the difference? He chose to remove the negative labels and to accept or claim the new labels. This is just what David did. You see, when the prophet Samuel came to anoint one of his father's sons as the next king of Israel, David's father, Jesse, didn't even bother to bring David in from the shepherd's field where he was taking care of his sheep. Jesse may have thought, I know it's not David. David's too small. He's too young. Yeah, not that talented, and he's not as smart or good-looking as his brothers. David had all these negative labels put on him by his own father, his own family. Well, you know the story as well as I do. Samuel looked at the other seven sons, and he walked down the line and said, "No, it's not this one. No, it's not this one." And even Samuel looked at some of them and said, "Wow, well, that's king material." But God said, "No, it's not this one." So he got down to the end, and finally he ran out of sons. Let's take a look at the story itself in 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16. So what do you do when you run out of sons? 1 Samuel chapter 16, and we're going to pick up the story in verse 10. "Thus Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said to Jesse, 'The Lord has not chosen these.'" What does he say in verse 11? "And Samuel said to Jesse, 'Are there any other young men here?'" In other words, "Do you have any more?" And he said, "Yeah, I've got one more. He's out taking care of the sheep." And Samuel says what? "Send for him, because we're not going to sit down until he comes." So that's what he said. You see, if we look back a few verses in verse 7, what does it say? It says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For a man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks where? At the heart. That's where the Lord looks." You see, God knows what you're capable of. God can see the seeds of greatness that he has placed within you. It's so easy to let something that someone has said or spoken over us keep us from believing in ourselves. It's almost second nature. Let's continue. Verse 12. Verse 12 says, so he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, with bright eyes and good looking, and the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is the one. Verse 13, then Samuel took the horn of oil and did what? He anointed him in front of who? His brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose, it says, and went to Ramah. You see, right there, brothers and sisters, David had to make a decision that this message today is calling each of us to make. He had to make the decision to remove the negative labels. He had heard them 1,000 times. You're too small. Get out of our way. You're too young. You don't have what it takes. David's brothers, even though they saw Samuel, they were there when Samuel was anointed as the next king, they still tried to stick their negative labels on him. When we go over to chapter 17, we see that Jesse has now sent David to take supplies to his brothers at the battlefront. We pick up the story in verse 22. And David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper, ran to the army, and came and greeted his brothers. Then as he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words. So David heard them, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel, and it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches. He will give him his daughter and give his father's house exemption in Israel. Then David, verse 26, spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, what shall be done for the man who kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? 27. And the people answered him in this manner, saying, so shall it be done for the man who kills him. Now Eliab, and this is what I was getting at, his oldest brother heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David. And he said, why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down here to see the battle. What was Eliab doing? He was sticking labels on David, wasn't he? Inferior, not good enough, intimidated. David could have said, yeah, you're right. And he could have turned around and said, I don't know what I was thinking. I'm not any good for anything except for going back and taking care of the sheep. So I guess I should just go and do that. He could have accepted the label and let it hold him back, but this time David had a different attitude. Although the words were not written in the story, this is what seems to make sense as I read the context of the story. He essentially said, Eliab, what you have said about me doesn't change what God has said about me. This is a young man who has been anointed the next king of Israel. He knows that God has a purpose for his life. And he knows that regardless of where he is or what he's doing, he's not there by chance. You still, he's referring to Eliab, I'm just paraphrasing here, you still label me weak and defeated and inferior. But what you don't realize is that I've got rid of those labels. And the creator of the universe, the God who breathed life into me, has put some new labels on me. They say, child of God, more than a conqueror, destined for greatness. And not in a selfish or self-centered manner. This uncircumcised Philistine was defying the God of Israel, and David was not okay with that. Amen? But more than that, he was willing to do something about it. None of the others were. They heard this Philistine, this Goliath, stand up before them and call down every name in the book against God and against his people and the army of God. And they did what? They ran away. But David, this young man who had chosen not to accept those labels and removed those negative labels and was seeing himself in a new light through God's eyes, he was not willing to allow that giant to stand and to defy the God of Israel. Isaiah 54 verse 7 says, "But no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that shall ruse against you or rise against you in judgment, you shall show to be in the wrong." That means every negative label. But I want us to notice something very vital this morning. God's not going to do it. You have to show it to be in the wrong. In other words, you yourself have to remove that negative label. You see, nothing that was spoken over you has to define you, even if it was by the people who raised you. Nothing that happened in your past has to keep you from your future or from your destiny or from the plans that God has for your life and for mine. Even if you've made mistakes or gone through unfair situations, you can show it to be in the wrong and shake off the self-pity and move forward with your life. Will you dare to do like David and remove the negative labels? You are not what people say you are. You are what God says you are. You see, he's not limited by your education or by your background or the family that you came from. He knows the end from the beginning, brothers and sisters. Do you believe that? He already has solutions for problems that you have not even encountered yet. He's all-powerful and all-knowing. So what labels does God want us to replace the negative labels with? God's labels for each of us are found all throughout his scripture. Here's a few. Psalms chapter 139 and verse 14 tells us that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We can claim that, brothers and sisters. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us that if we are in Christ, we are a new creation or a new creature. Amen? Romans 8:37 tells us that through Jesus, we are more than conquerors. Philippians 4:13 says that I can do all things through who? Through Christ who gives me strength. Jeremiah 29:11 tells us that God has a plan for each of our lives. Amen? It's wonderful. Colossians 3:12 calls us the elect of God or his beloved. Wonderful labels, aren't they? Isaiah 43 verse 10 tells us that we are God's witnesses. That's what we're called to. And finally, in 1 Peter 2 verse 9, we read these words. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Did you hear that? You're a chosen race, each one of us, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. I want to leave you with this challenge this morning. Remove the old negative labels and start going by your new labels. Masterpiece, valuable, one of a kind, more than a conqueror, history maker, follower of God, world changer. Those are the labels that we should be wearing, brothers and sisters. People can call you many things, but you are not what people call you. You are what you answer to. Did you catch that? People can call you many things, but you are not what people call you. You are what you answer to. So they can call you slow. They can call you lazy. They can call you old, all washed up. Just don't answer to it. Amen? Answer instead to victorious, talented, history maker, child of God, world changer. And if you do that today, it will be a turning point in your life. And you can become a son of strength, a daughter of influence, or a child of victory, blessing, and favor. Amen.